Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh Radio. Worldwide. International radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahweh's Radio, Yahweh's Ministry. I'll be your host for the top part of the Sabbath day. This is the day that the Almighty have made for me and you. Top part of the Sabbath day, live broadcast. And remember, we got six locations, so you can call for details on the international line, 224-600-5579. And you can catch the live broadcasts by Voices of the True Israelites. And on the international side, we see it stacked to the max, over 900,000 plus on the international side. So what we're going to do, we're going to bring our elder in, Mr. T of Israel, and he'll tell you all about the broadcast, the top part of Saturday, then we'll see what we can get going on the top part of Saturday. This is the day that the Almighty have made. He made this day for me and you. You know, you got billionaires have made plenty of money, but they did not know that the Sabbath day is when the sun go down on Friday until the sun go down on Saturday. Big billionaires, they didn't know that.
Case in point. For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off. Which, may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday. I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
Oprah Winfrey, a billionaire, she did not know that the blessed day of the Bible is the Sabbath day when the sun go down on Friday to the sun go down on Saturday. And that's why we take nothing for granted when we come on this international radio broadcast. We just teach as he give us. So We're going to bring our Herald in. He'll tell you all about what Yahweh done put on him to tell you about the top part of the Sabbath day. So when you meet our elder, with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Kim, Israel, Yahweh be to their seed royal.
And Yahweh bless you, see Israel, the seed royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Elder. Well, you know, you got billionaires and a whole lot of those that believe they is worshiping on the right day, Sunday morning at 9, 10, and 11, but according to the Bible, that is totally wrong. And when Oprah found out that the Bible worship days, when the sun set on Friday to sunset on Saturday, I wonder, did she make adjustment? I don't know. We'll find out. But right now, whatever Yahweh put on you, tell the national audience, take the time and we'll see if we can get out there prepared to meet them where they're at after your lead. You're on the clock. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless you. See you, Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And I always say it's a pleasure to be among a cast of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And that brings me to think there are some people out there that need that word broken down. They are saying Yahweh or either Akbar. They never heard of the word Yahweh before. And that's what they need explained. You know, it's not too much time left in anyone's life. They don't know when that next day is coming. They have to know that the decisions that you make, not going in the right direction, is explained in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. And the reason for that, they have no shepherd. This is what we talked about a few days ago, a shepherd, preacher, deacon, seer, someone that gives you the word as it should be spoken correctly. This is why you always hear me open a broadcast and say, a teacher cannot learn from his student because he's giving wise counsel. But having knowledge, he gains even more experience by teaching. Now, a student can learn from a good teacher, from wise counsel, possibly learning to teach one day themselves. And actually, this shows well in all of our six camps that teach. Because most of us, we came here to hear things that most of us can hear, and some listening never understand. Like Yahweh, what does that really mean? But Yahweh's ministry makes all this misunderstanding very possible. To see the things in the Bible through proper teaching that some looking can never find. These are what you call the misinformed. They can do none of these things. This is why the words of Yahweh that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. You notice I use that word righteous, emphasizing it, because we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, which we're often taught also in this program, we're given the knowledge to know that those out there camouflage their evil and mostly confused teachings and usually overly loud bump the drums contest for their righteous learning. Sometimes even turning the Bible scriptures around as verbal weapons against those of us that know. So this is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of loud bump the gums, bad teaching, and wrong-taught Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry, coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahweh's word. Well, we've been often asked, How can you guys get this one much information out of this one book? Well, it comes from connecting the books, your health, foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days, and much more. We do all this because you have knocked. It's the information that you came to seek, and you have to look no further. You've now found that in the voices of the True Israelites, tribe of Yadah. We're open unto you on the normal days from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday, unless we have a high day or a special event. However, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday, which is today. That class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. That's right. Yahuwah's Ministry, you do have a website address. And that is tribeyada.com. After you click enter, just under a big line, you're going to see some choices. One of the choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also the donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah alive. Also for building a school, which I can see on a continual daily basis is very well needed for explaining different words that people have not associated themselves with. For building a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. While there, we even have a calendar. Check out that calendar, which will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days, the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's only available during our live broadcast time. To get there on your computer, smartphone, or smartwatch, just type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. And click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. Also, we have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international phone number, where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. You will only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, by calling this number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and a correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact us here via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, he's pretty busy with the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos that most of us have seen, and even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if that question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear a discouraging dial tone. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, you can always catch the entire show at 10:15 p.m. Now, to do that, just enter the three words once again, Yakwa Radio Live. When you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Gadda. Just choose the program that you're late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, another interesting note we'd like to mention. During our normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our information on Pal Talk. Pal Talk can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, or computer. Just download the Pal Talk app. We will be listed under Ethnic Group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Gadda. The room will hold 50 or more listening participants. This is where Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer the on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be the elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with Seer Israel, writing as Shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But as a listening note, when we are given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly. Remembering, we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah, and not that of confusion, as we're given a reminder of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Because when we do this, we keep the scriptures in mind. But when you find those trying to win that bump the gums contest, those are the ones that miss all of Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto them. Because you have to remember, we're here rehearsing the righteous act. And that reminder is given in St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring those things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So we can continue with our program on the top part of the Sabbath. We will pass our program back to our seer Israel and let the teaching begin. Hallelujah.
All right, you have a hallelujah. And like we said earlier, kind of you have to do a little like that double time, kind of spread them out as the young lions, they on their way to the temple after putting up all the tools they got to do. So they will be a few minutes late getting into camp one. And we clear all the other camps and ready to go, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So remember, like the elder said, call the international line and see where you're located at, and we'll go from there and just say Yahuwah's word. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go from there. So we'll get the elder time to spread the books out, and we know that one of the mothers is ready to go, so we're going to see if one of the mothers ready to come on studio and do our part on the top part of the Sabbath day by looking for a mother, Mother E, Tribe of Yahgad Judah. Hey, Mother E, Tribe of Yahgad Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Yahuwah be to that C. Roy.
Yahuwah bless this day of Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mother. All right, thank you. Bright eyed, bushy tail, and ready to kind of do your part on the top part of seven. That's what it's all about. So, get it in on the top part of seven day by looking for the elders and look right down at Luke chapter 12, verse number 12, and we'll see how you want the top part of seven day to go after we read Luke chapter 12.
Okay, looking at the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12. 12 says, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
All right, excellent. In the background, kind of turn that volume down just a little bit because we're hearing you talking twice. So so we want to hear you one time, and we hear you two times, then we know what to talk about it. That's a good thing, too. But in the background, just turn down a little bit, and then we can kind of get on something. And this national audience, over 900,000 strong, will hear clearly what's going on. So, it's the top part of the seventh day. This day the Almighty have made. And we left off on something, but we're going to go another direction, but we're going to get back on what was on some things. But, mother,
Mm-hmm.
We're going to open up in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 down to verse 16. Let's see what we can get out of that 2 Chronicles. And then, Elder, I'm going to meet you back in the book of Deuteronomy 18, 15, down around by verse 22. I want to get at something right here in 2 Chronicles 7, 14 to 16. Hey, Mother E. What's that say that we can read? 2 Chronicles 7, 14 to 16. What it say?
2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 to 16.
Verse
14. And my people, which are called by my name, shall honor themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attended unto the prayer that is made in this place. Verse 16. For now have I chosen and sanctified the temple, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my mind shall be there perpetually.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mother, you want to explain that to the national audience, what you just got through reading on the top part of the seventh day of. You read 2 Chronicles 7, 14 down to 16. You want to take a little shot at that? Or what you just got through reading for the national audience. Come on.
Okay, in verse 14, it's talking about his people. It says, if they would honor themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. So he said in this 14th verse, we have to honor ourselves and pray for him to forgive our sins. And in the 15th verse, it said, my eyes shall be open and my ears attended to the prayer. So Yahweh said, if we honor ourselves and seek him, in terms of my wicked ways, his eyes shall be open and his ears attended to our prayer.
Okay.
And verse 16.
Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 16, it says, now have I chosen and sanctified this temple that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my mind shall be their perpetual. So Yahweh said in verse 16, he'll be in the temple with you. This book.
Oh. Okay. But he did also say, if my people will do that. So I'm going to precept that, Mother, for the national audience, to make to make it clear, they say, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves. So he's telling a people by the mouth of, in the book of Chronicles, he was saying, my people got to hear what I got to say and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear and take care of the problem that they got. But I need to precept that, Mother, because in Psalms, although we're not going to read Psalms 119, verse 4 or 104, it says, through the precepts we get understanding. Mm-hmm. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 9 and 10, it says, you must precept your Bible. So I need to find out a little bit more, Mother, about his people that is called by his name will humble himself. So let's run to the book of Psalms, Mother E. We'll look at Psalm chapter 5, 6, and 7. And let's see if we be clear that he's talking about my people. Just like if you go back in the days and the teacher asks you, what you here for? I'm coming to get my children and take them home. So now when you say, I'm coming to get my children to take them home, you're not talking about everybody in school. You're talking about your children.
Yes.
I know it's true in every room, but you specifically, Daryl, to get your children to take them home. So we want to find out when you read that Second Chronicles 7:14-16, if my people, which is called by my name, will humble themselves. But I need to know a little bit more about it by going to Psalm 50, verse 5 down to verse 7, Mother. Let's see what we can get out of Psalms chapter 50, verse 5 to 7. You back on the clock, come on.
Okay. I thought you said Mark.
No, make it Psalms. Make it a book of Psalms chapter 50, verse 5, 6, and 7. I'm looking for a precept, Mother. Because I need to be clear, because if back in the days when you went to school and said, well, I'm here to get my children and take them home, so the teacher, the principal, everybody knows there, but you come to get your children to take them home. So this is what we got to understand in this Bible, that that's why we got a precept by the Bible to see exactly who is his people that he said if they humble themselves, he'll do something for them. So now we're going to precept that to Psalm 50, verse 5 through 7. Mother, come on.
Book of Psalms, chapter 50, verses 5 through 7. Verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me have sacrificed. Verse 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Yahweh is judge himself, the Lord. Verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Yahweh, even thou Yahweh.
So, Mother, when we read back in Chronicles 14 through 16, he is talking about his people and what is their name according to 50, verse 5 through 7. So who is the Almighty people according to the 50th chapter, verse 5 through 7? Can you give me a specific name, Mother, on who his people is? Come on.
Okay. He's talking to Israel. He's talking about Israel, his people.
Oh. So when we read Second Chronicles 14-16. And wherever we send that, we have to remind those that are listening to us that the people he's talking about is not everybody. He's talking about the children of Israel. That is Almighty's people that he's talking about. And that has to be made very plainly when you read 2 Chronicles 7:14-16. He's talking about a specific people called the children of Israel. Because he said the people that's called by his name. So let me get one more precept out of that, Mother. The people that's called by his name. So the one he's talking about is the one that carries his name. So we go on to Numbers chapter 6, Mother. And we'll look at verse 22 down to verse 27. And we're gonna see through the heavenly tablets exactly who the peoples that's called by his name. We're going to take a little glance at it right now, Mother. Now going to number 6, 22 down to verse 27. Then we're going to get on down a little bit. So let's see it, number 6, 22 down to verse 27. What does it say?
The book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22 to verse 27. Verse 22, and the Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Verse 24, the Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Verse 25, the Yahweh maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Verse 26, the Yahweh lifteth up his countenance upon thee and give thee the peace. 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
So, Mother, so when we read and when we try to edify our people, when we read 2 Chronicles 7:14-16, but if we leave all them good precepts out, we would not have the people clear about who his people is that's called by his name. So the people that's called by his name, what name did he give a people, Mother, according to Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 and 27? What name did he give a people and put the blessing on them? What was the name, Mother?
What name did he give them?
Yes, according to Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 and 27, what name did he put on them people and said, you are under a blessing? So what name, according to Numbers 22, 6 down to verse 22?
Okay. Okay, the name, he said, the Israel.
Oh, okay. All right, Esma. The name of the Lord.
You bless the children of Israel.
There you go, Mom. That's excellent. That's what I want to hear. So the name that was put on the people to receive a blessing, they must be having the name somewhere in their name, Israel. So that's the one have the blessing. The one that at the end of their name, they have Israel at the end of their name, and them is the one that he placed the blessing on. So that is right there, Mother. So when we sit around those that up under anointed leadership, And when we read 7:14 through 16, we read that, but we have to be clear that the people that's called by his name, that is the name of Israel, them the one he's going to bless first. So if you're not caring at the end of your name, Israel, you will not be blessed first. Not saying you won't be blessed, but you will not be blessed first. So there you go right there, Moses. So now we're clear. The fourth blessing goes to the children of Israel. And that's real nice to know. The first blessing goes to the children of Israel. All right, excellent on that point. So now we're going to chuck that out as the precept. So the first blessing will be going to the children of Israel. So now, Elder, we want to look at that Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we're going to look at one verse, and we're going to see what can we get done on Deuteronomy 18 there, Elder. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we'll look at verse 15. Elder, Mr. T of Israel, we're going to take a look at Deuteronomy 18, 15, and see what can we get out of that one verse. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 15. 15 says, the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, will raise up unto a seer from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken.
Mm-hmm. So Yahweh saying to Moses that he going to raise up a seer from the midst of the brethren, and him shall you hear. So he said when he raised his seer up, him you shall hear. He said, listen to him. Matter of fact, let's get a precept on that, Elder, what that means by listening to him by going to Psalms, and let's see what he means by that. So he said, I'm going to raise up a seer from the midst of the brotherhood. And when I raise this seer up, him you hear. So we'll go in the book of Psalms and get a precept on that to find out what do that mean, and by getting a precept on that. The key is to always precept your Bible, and once you precept your Bible, you only speak after the verse is on the table. So we're going to see what that means by he going to raise up a seer from the midst of the brethren. We're going to Psalms chapter 95, Elder, and we'll look at verse 7 down to verse 11. Let's see what we can read on Psalms chapter 95, verse 7 down to 11. Psalms 95, 7 down to verse 11, Elder, come on.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 95, verses 7 to verse 11. 7 says, for he is our Yahweh, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye shall hear his voice. 8, hearken not your heart or mind, as in the provocation, as it is in the day of temptation in the wilderness. 9, when your fathers tempted me, provoked me, and saw my work. 10, 40 years long I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart of mine, and they have not known my ways. 11, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest.
Mm-hmm. Hold that point, Elder. Hold that point. Back up, read that verse again. He said, these people do what again, Elder? He said, what do these people do in their mind? Back up and read that one verse. He said, these people he's talking about, they err in their mind. And we want to find out what he means by that after you read it again. So read, call that verse out again about they, these people do error in their mind. Come on.
That was Psalms 95, verse number 10.
Okay.
What it says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do error in their heart of mind, and they do not have known, and they have not known my ways.
Okay, hold that part for a minute. How do they error in their mind? We want to go to the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Put a marker there, Elder. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But let's find out how do they error in their mind. He said, this people right here, error in their mind. Let's find out what makes them error in their mind by precepting that verse in Matthew 22, verse 29.
Okay, go on to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 29. Okay, 29 says, Yahweh the Son answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahweh.
Oh, so these people do err in their mind because they don't know what error.
The scriptures.
They don't know what else.
The power.
They don't know the scriptures. Not knowing the scriptures. He said they err in their mind because they don't know the scriptures nor the power of the mighty one. So they are error in their mind. Now he said these people do because they don't know the scriptures. They don't know that Isaiah, Elder, 47, verse 9 and 10, made a profound statement. In Isaiah 47, well, make it 46. Isaiah 46, he says something in Isaiah 46, Elder. He said, these people do error in their mind because they don't know the scripture. Let's see what he's talking about, Elder, that we can read in the 46th chapter of Isaiah, verse 9 and 10. Let's see, can we run that down on the top part of Saturday? How do these people err in their mind by not knowing the scripture? Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10 says what?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I am Yahweh, there is none like me. 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure.
I will do what?
He will do his pleasure.
Said, my counsel will stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That means he's not going to leave no percentage laid down. He's going to do all. Key word was that he's going to do all his pleasure. He's not going to be shot no way on it. He's going to do all his pleasure. That was what he's going to do. He says, the problem with these people, they don't know the scripture. So you was reading the scriptures in that 18:15, and it says plainly that he was going to raise up a seer from the midst of the brethren, him you should hear. So he's telling you that what he's going to do by calling the end from the beginning, he says somewhere in process of time, he's going to raise up a seer from the midst of thee. Now, we're going to find out when he said that, Elder. We want to run to Deuteronomy. Now, he said, the seer that must be raised up must come from the brother. And we found out through mother that the brother was the children of Israel. The seer that must come out of the bloodline of the children of Israel. So, if that's the case, when we go to Deuteronomy, Elder, when we go to Deuteronomy chapter, let's see what we want. We want something out of Deuteronomy, Elder. And I'm struggling right now, but what we need is something out of Deuteronomy to help, you know, second that what he's just saying. So it is a statement written that he's going to raise out of the brothers. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29, Elder. I'm writing this as fast as we as it's given to me. I'm taking notes of myself. Let's find out more about that in Deuteronomy 29, verse number 1. Let's find out a little something about this. He said he's going to raise up a seer from the midst of the brothers. And when I raise them up, him you hear. Okay, good. Let's look at Deuteronomy 29, verse 1, Elder. Let's see what that say. 29.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, reading verse number 1. 1 says, these are the words of the covenant which the Yahuwah commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb.
Mm-hmm. So this covenant he making with what people, according to verse 29, Elder?
Children of Israel.
The children of Israel. All right, excellent. Let's get down to verse 9, find out what is said to from Yahuwah to Moses to tell Aaron and the children of Israel. What is he saying in verse number 9? And we'll take it down to verse, no, straight on down to verse 15. Let's see what he's saying for the national audience, according to 9 down to verse 15. Take your time, Elder, because I think we're going to sum up on something after you read that this message is for the children of Israel. 9 down to verse 16, you're on the clock, come on.
Okay, in the same chapter, Deuteronomy, reading 9 to 15, 9 says, keep, therefore, the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. 10. You stand this day, all of you before the Yahuwah, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers with the men of Israel. 11. Your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood and to the drawer of thy water. 12. That thou shouldest enter into the covenant with the Yahuwah, and into his oath, which the Yahuwah maketh with thee this day.
Mm-hmm. The covenant he made with who this day? Who are you making this covenant with, Elder?
With the children of Israel.
Oh, okay. Great. So you're making this covenant with the children of Israel. So the children of Israel are supposed to be aware that he made this covenant with the children of Israel. But look what he says. Look what he says in the next verse.
13. Actually, I was supposed to be reading the 15. I stopped at 12. 13 says.
Well, hold on, Elder. Because we knew something was left out. That's why we paused as long as we did pause, because we were waiting on something So if you go on straight down to verse 15, now we pick it back up at verse 13 to 15, and let's see if we get our point. 13, 14, and 15, what it say?
Okay.
13, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be put unto thee a Yahweh, as he had said unto thee, and as he had sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. 14. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. 15. But with him that standeth here with us this day before the Yahweh, our Yahweh, and also with him that is not here with us this day.
Oh, so that's what we want. That's what Mother Z, that was that. So the covenant was not just made with the one that he was looking at. He also made a covenant with the one that was standing there and the one that was not standing there. So who was the one that was not standing there? Find out. So he made a covenant with the one that was not standing there. Because when they tell you, well, that was the Old Testament, all that's done away with. But we just found out that he made a covenant with the one that was not standing there. We want to find out, well, what was they at? We going to find out what it was at, we go on to the book of Hebrews, so when they tell you, well, no, that's done away with, then you got a verse showing you that, no, this man called the end from the beginning, and he made a covenant with the one that was standing there and the one that was not. So now we got to find out who is he talking about that was not. And how you find out? You preach up your Bible to the book of Hebrews. That's what you do. You precept your Bible to the book of Hebrews, and we want to find out who was the one that was not standing there. And how we find that out? By going to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to find out in the book of Hebrews exactly who was not standing there. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, there, elder, we're looking for something along the way. We're looking for something along the way to find out who was not there. And if they was not there, where were they at? So we went up to read where they was at. Let's get warmed up in 7, verse 7, elder, first, and then we'll keep going until we find out what we're looking for. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 7.
In the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 7, 7 says, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better.
The less is blessed of the better. Okay, good. Let's find out a little bit more. The less is blessed than the better. Get down to verse 10. We just get down, let down to it. Let's find out about this less is blessed than the better. Verse 10.
10 or 13?
Verse 10.
Verse 10. 10 says, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him.
Okay. And Melchizedek is another name for Yahweh the son. So the people, where were the people at? But he made a covenant with the ones that was there and the ones that was not there. According to verse 10, elder, what was all the people that was there, according to verse 10? What were they at, according to verse 10?
says it was in the loins of his father.
Excellent. So that's why the covenant still exists, because the one that was not there of the children of Israel was in the bloodline of their father. So when you cut off a man, you don't know how many generations you have cut off. So when you take a man's life from him, you don't know how many generations you have killed. Because it's showing you soundly that he made a covenant with the one that was standing there and the one that was not. But where were they at? They was in the bloodline children of the people of Israel. So when they tell you the Old Testament is done away with, no. The people he made a covenant with back there is the same people that's here today. And how we know that? They ought to read the Ecclesiastes, the regular book, 4:16. Let's read the regular book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 16. Well, that's why I say a lot of teaching has to be done, because we find out when we read this Bible that we was back there too, but we were still in that bloodline to come. Matter of fact, Mother, before he reads that, Mother E, read me 36, verse 8 of Ezekiel, Mother E. Before he ought to read Ecclesiastes 4:16, can you read Ecclesiastes 4:6? I mean, Ezekiel 36, verse number 8. What it says in 36, verse 8, Mother?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 8. Read. But ye, O mountain of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people.
Yeah.
Of Israel, for they are at hand to come.
That's right. So what? And they at hand to come. What was that, Mother? They was in the loins of all them people back there, from Adam to Noah to Shem to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. The 12 tribes, even to this day. So there go your straight bloodline from Adam all the way up to now. So the peoples of Israel was in the bloodline of all these peoples, and they are at hand to come. So there it is up there, Mother. The children of Israel was in the bloodline when Moses was telling the children of Israel, I'm going to make a covenant with you and the those that are here now and the ones that are not here. And the ones that was not here is us. Now, generations to come going to be able to say the same thing. When Mother E and Mother Z and the elder, they going to say, well, we was in the bloodline of them. And we are the people of them. But this time is very short. We think we're going to see more of the close of this thing through the prophecy anyway. But that's what we got to know. There's no such thing as no Old or New Testament. The people that was back there then are the people in the same bloodline now. Read that verse, Elder. 4:16 of...
Go ahead, what 14? Ecclesiastes 4, verse 16. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity, vexation of spirit.
So the same people that were back there then are the same people now. The same people that was back there then is back there now. Let's see what he did, Elder, in 12, verse 7 of the same book in Ecclesiastes. What did he do in 12, verse 7?
Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, 7. 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Yahweh who gave.
You see that? He said, them old people back in the background, way back there, they go back to the dust. But that spirit that's in them can return back to Yahweh, then he places when he get ready. See, the spirit in you never dies. It's just this fleshly thing you got goes back where it come from, the dust. But the breath of life goes back to him. The spirit goes back to him. And when he ready, he'll place that same spirit in another vessel. Same spirit. That's why you're going to recognize whoever is, whatever you own, you can be recognized from the page of the book. Just by understanding the Bible, you can recognize that side of you remind me of somebody in this book. See? Because we know one thing. Everybody that's been born from Adam to Cain to Esau to Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel, everybody's back there. Spirit went back to the Almighty. Then he placed that spirit right back into somebody today. And all way you're going to recognize them is through the pages of the book. You'll know who is that from the days of old by knowing your Bible. But it first starts when you know who you are, the children of Israel. That's the key right there. So if he made a covenant with you, Mother E, so since he made a covenant with you, so now we go on and precept and see that the covenant was made to children of Israel. We clear that the covenant was made with the children of Israel. Now we want to go to Jeremiah the seer, Mother E, and we want to know what did he tell Jeremiah in 1, verse 4 and 5, 8 down to verse 10. What did he tell Jeremiah? He looked Jeremiah eyeball to eyeball. And he said something to Jeremiah with the knowledge we got right now. What he said to Jeremiah in 1, verse 4, 5, 8 through 10. Hey, Mother E, take your time and do your part. Come on.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, 8, 9, and 10. Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, then the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I know thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a seer unto the nation. Verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Yahweh. Verse 9. Then the Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my word in your mouth. Verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nation and over the kingdom to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.
Molly, you want to take a shot at that, Molly? What was told to Jeremiah? See, a lot of people think that by their own hands, you know, by their own hands, but the Almighty met Jeremiah eyeball to eyeball. And what did the Almighty tell Jeremiah? According to verse 4, 5, 8 through 10, let's see, can you enlighten this national audience over 900,000 strong? What did the Almighty tell Jeremiah? According to 1, 4, 5, 8 through 10, what did he say to Jeremiah? Come on.
In verse 1, Jeremiah with the word. And Josiah, he said, so Jeremiah, he swung from him, from the, I saw thee in the belly. I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. So Yahweh sanctified Jeremiah before he was even come out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So he sanctified Jeremiah.
Uh-huh. To do what? What was Jeremiah raised from the womb? That I knew you. He was raised from the womb. He said, Jeremiah, I knew you. I'm the one sanctified you from the womb. So what purpose do he want Jeremiah to do after he remind him according to 8 and 10? So what is Jeremiah supposed to be about according to the verses 8, 9, and 10? So he said, I knew you, Jeremiah. I'm the one formed you in the womb. I sanctified you in the womb. So this is not your calling. This is my calling. I got a specific thing for you to do, Jeremiah. And what is that, Mother, between 8, 9, and 10?
Okay. He said, Jeremiah over the, okay, wait a minute. He said, then the Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my word in thy mouth. Okay, I didn't get to that one. Okay. I have this day set thee over the nation and over the kingdom to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So he said, Jeremiah over the nation of the children of Israel to root out and to pull down and to destroy.
Yeah.
And to build and to plant. Yeah. So Jeremiah was over that nation, to the nation of Israel, to build it up and plant the word. Okay.
You're doing great, Mother. So Jeremiah was to build them up, plant the word. So Jeremiah was not going to be a lack of a person, because if he seen something wrong, he had to throw it down. Then once he found something wrong, then he had to build it up. So Jeremiah was nothing to, he was not well liked, because he was raised from the womb to, if a problem is good, then let it be. But if not good, it is to throw it down. So Jeremiah was not a likable person. But the Almighty reminded him that his job was to, I'll sit you over the nations, Jeremiah. You over all the kings, the president, and everything that walks and breathes. If you see something wrong, you got to throw that down. And then you got to correct it, Jeremiah. You just don't tear it up, and you don't build it back up. So now that's the talk there, Elder. So now we're going back to the Elder with that in mind. So now we're going back to the Elder, and we're going to read a little bit again from the 18th chapter, verse 15, and we're going to read down and see what is he saying. And back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, you read verse 15, Elder, you'll tuck at it already. Now we're going to look at verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 16, Elder. Let's see what we got going on. Deuteronomy 18, verse 16. What it say?
Deuteronomy 18, verse number 16. 16 says, according to all that desire of the Yahuwah and Hor, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Yahuwah, my Yahuwah, neither let me see this great fire.
Well, hold on, Elder. Hold on, Elder. We're going right back to 18, and we're going to look right down at verse 16 again of Deuteronomy. 18, 16. You read 15.
Okay.
Now we're going to 16.
I'm looking at Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I'm looking exactly at verse number 16.
Okay, well, go ahead and read 16. Again then. Well, I've kind of got a little happy to time and look
okay.
at real Catholic call that verse out. Remember, for the national audience, call that verse out. And then go ahead and stretch out a little bit in it, because I think something in that verse we want to take a look at. Come on.
Okay. Book of Deuteronomy, reading chapter 18, verse number 16. 16 says, according to all that desire of the Yahuwah, and Horeb, and the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Yahuwah, my Yahuwah, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I may die not.
Go ahead.
17. And the Yahuwah said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. 18. I will raise them up a prophet, seer, from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I have commanded him. 19. And it shall come to pass that whomsoever I will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require.
Hold on, Elder. Take your time and look at that verse real carefully. Look, you read. Start again, that verse.
Okay. 8:19. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
It's off of there. Go ahead.
20. But the seer, prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other Yahuwahs, even that seer shall die. 21. And if thou say in thine heart of mine, how shall we know the word which the Yahuwah has not spoken? 22. When a prophet, a seer, speaketh in the name of the Yahuwah, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Yahuwah had not spoken, but the prophet, seer, had spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him.
Hmm. I got a whole lot of stuff up in there. So we're going to understand this. I need to hear this verse again in verse 20 again. The only way we're going to understand this, we got to remember what it says in 28:9-10. We're not going to read. You must precept your Bible to get the answer. You don't talk your way out of this. No, you got to precept your Bible out of this. So we don't find out that if a man of Yahuwah speaks outside of Yahuwah's word, that we, I'm going to kill it. And let's see if you do that, say that in verse 20. Let's see if you say it again, I'm going to kill him in verse 20.
Verse number 20. But the prophet, seer, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other Yahuwahs, even that seer prophet shall die.
Oh, that's big talking there. So we got to preach. That means one thing. Jeremiah was not well liked because he had to go among the people that of Israelite descent, and he had to tell them the way it is. And he didn't tell them the way it is, according to verse 20, what's going to happen to Jeremiah, the seer, according to verse 20, the elder?
Speaking what he's not told to, he's going to die.
Oh, we're reading that, huh? So now we got to get a case in point. Let's run to Ezekiel 13, 1 through 9, and Mother E. have me 22 and 23 waiting on me. Let's get a case in point there, Elder. Let's see if we get a case in point. So we find out if you being anointed to do the will of the Mighty One, and you chose not to seek what he gives you from the pages of his book, he said, I'm going to kill you. Something we need to understand that. If you're not speaking what he's telling you to speak that you can read, the man say going to kill you. Now, we want to give a little precept on that by the elder looking at Ezekiel 13, 1 through 9, and Mother picking up at 23. We're going to get a precept on this. We need a case in point because it's already told. Remember we read earlier and Matthew 29, 22, it says, this people err because they don't know the scriptures. See, a lot of times people don't know the scriptures because they've been told all their life that everything past Matthew to the left-hand side is done away with. And we don't find out, according to the lesson on top part of Saturday, that the people they made a covenant with were with the ones that were standing there and the ones that's in the bloodline. And if you are a bloodline Israelite, that comes with you, although you wasn't there, but you was there. See? Well, there it is right there. So if you in leadership and you chose not to speak, thus says the Mighty One, the man say he's going to kill you. Now we're going to get a case in point by looking at Ezekiel 13, 1 through 9, and Mother going to have 22 and 23. Come on, y'all.
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, reading verses 1 through 9. 1 says, and the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, 2, son of man, prophesies against the prophets, seers of Israel, that prophesies, and say unto them, that prophecy out of their own heart of mine, hear ye the word of Yahuwah. 3, thus says to Yahuwah, woe unto the foolish prophets, seers, that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets, seers, are like foxes in the desert. 5, ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up in the hedges for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Yahuwah. 6, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Yahuwah saith unto the Yahuwah, have not sent them, and they have not made others to hope that they would confirm the word. 7, have you not seen a vain vision, and have not spoken a lying divination? whereas you say, the Yahweh said, it, I bet that I have not spoken. 9. Thus says the Yahweh, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Yahweh. 9. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets, seers, that see vanity, and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Yahweh.
So, just use one word or the other, seer or prophet, but the word prophet is done away with. Yeah, so the word prophet is done away with at a certain time in the book. So it's not an interchangeable word. One word is done away with. Okay, good. Now, mother, look at that verse 22 and 23 and tell me what it says, mother.
Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 22 and verse 23.
23,
yes. Because of lies, you have made the mind of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked ways, by promises him life. 23. Therefore, you shall see no more vanity, nor divination. For I will deliver my people out of your hands, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh.
That's a bit dark, mother. He's saying that to this anointed leadership, you can't all of a sudden forget. And then you start looking at the feelings of the people and make a decision that the Bible don't support. He said, now, you can strengthen the people's hand by lying to them and think they got something coming by lying to them, but I'm going to get you for it because you're lying to them. That's what he's saying. He said, those in leadership, if you lie to the people, I'm going to get you. That's what he's saying. In modern day terms now, if in leadership position, if you find out that you lying to the people, he said, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you for it. Telling you now, I'm going to get you for lying to the people. So that's what he's saying. Now, mother, look at the 18th chapter, verse 31 and 32 of Deuteronomy. Stay in there. And Elder have me, Jeremiah 25, 34 to 38. So listen what he's saying to the leadership. He's a leadership. You can keep lying to these people, not telling these people the truth, who they really are. Keep telling them that they are a religion and not a bloodline people. And you continue that line of never telling the people who they are, not telling them that the covenant that was made with the children of Israel, it was made with the people that were standing there and the one that was in the loins today. And you never tell them these things. You're telling them that, oh, don't worry about that old book. That's done away with. Never tell them that you was in the loins of them people. And when you kill a man like you have did in the past, you cut off a long line of bloodline. I wonder how many people have you killed until the time of Yahweh is coming. And that's why he made a profound statement. You might read in this lesson based upon that anyway. See, when you kill a man, you cut off a bloodline from time that man died up to the time now and beyond. You kills off a whole bloodline. So keep on letting your temple keep having you to kill people, men, and cut off their bloodline, because one day you going to answer to that, and we might read it and just let it. I don't know. We know how to get to it, but we don't get to it right now because you don't want us to get to it right now. That's why you got to know, you got to stop erring through these scriptures. You can't keep on killing people and thinking that you took care of that person. Not knowing you killed that man, you killed off his son, up to this day and beyond up. So that's important to understand the scripture. Now look what Mother getting ready to read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 31 and 32. Would you be ready to read, Mother? 18, verse 31 and 32 says what of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18, 31 and 32. What does it say, Mother?
Okay, wait a minute. I got you. I thought you told me Deuteronomy.
Made an error. Man always gonna make an error. That's why Mother Z always tell us, even in class. Matter of fact, read that other real quick. Read this Acts 15:15. This is what Mother Z always tell us in class. Acts 15:15. What does it say, yo? What do Acts 15:15 say?
Acts chapter 15, verse number 15. It says, and to this agree the words of the seers, as it is written.
You see that? So you all agree if you can read it. Otherwise, you can't read it. You don't agree with the seer or nobody else. If you can't read that to me, I ain't hearing it. Because that's what Mother Z said a minute. I ain't hearing that unless I can read that. I agree with the seer if he showed me in that book. But when if you don't show me in that book, I ain't agreeing with him. That's the thing. That's all right with me. And that's the same thing you're supposed to hold anybody accountable that stand before you. If they can't read what they're saying, then hush up. Hush your mouth up. I can't believe that. Because if it's important, I'm supposed to be able to read it. See? There you go. Let's see what Mother getting ready to read in Ezekiel 18, 31 and 32.
Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31 and verse 32. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed sin, and make you a new mind and a new spirit. For why will you die, O family of Israel? 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, said the Yahweh. Wherefore turn yourself and live you.
Yeah. He said, hey, Israel, why can't you die? If you don't turn away from sin against me, I'm going to kill you. He said, why can't you die? If you keep sinning against me, I'm going to kill you. I might not get you today. I'm going to get you tomorrow. But you keep sinning against this man. He told the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, why can't you die? I'm going to kill you. You keep sinning against me, I'm going to kill you. That's what he said to tell him. He said, why can't you die? As long as you keep sinning against this man, you ain't got nothing but a death sentence over your head. And then it's written. And Deuteronomy 18, 31, and 32. You keep sinning again. You still wrestle with the children, the grandbabies, the aunties, the mamas, and everything else. Listen, the man's going to kill you. You keep sinning against the man's going to kill you. So Ezekiel had to tell him, hey, children of Israel, if you keep sinning against the man's going to kill you. Why should you die, oh, children of Israel? Not only die the first death, you're going to die the second death when he wakes you up and burn you in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what's so good to you that you don't want to come to this man. He said, you preparing yourself for the second death. Everybody's going to taste the first death, but you preparing for the second death when I wake you up and burn you up in the fire for eternity. You mean whatever you're doing is worth it? The man going to burn you in the fire until you do what you're doing. Now, let's break down the proper pronunciation of when we was reading about the seers, the prophets, and all that stuff. Now we're going to break down the proper words that's supposed to be in there that we can read. Now the elder going to read the proper word that was there by going to Jeremiah 25, 34 through 38. So when any something is negative is told by any leadership, these are the words you have to put there and on instead of fear. Here we go right now. Jeremiah 25, 34, 38, Elder Brandon.
Book of Jeremiah, I think that was chapter 25, 34.
Jeremiah 25, 34 to 38. Here go the proper way you read that you read Deuteronomy's part and the proper way you read Ezekiel 13, 1 through 9, and that you read, this is the proper way you read that when it's any something, it's negative about leadership. Because if it's negative, Yahweh is not going to deal with you. And we'll give you case in point shortly. But these are the words that should have been there. I should have three times the word seer mentioned. Let's find out exactly what should have been there. According Jeremiah 25, 34 to 38, Elder Brandon.
Jeremiah 25, 34 to 38. 34 says, howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and howl yourselves into ashes, ye principals of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. 35, and the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. 36, a voice of the cry of the shepherds and a howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Yahweh had spoken, boiled their pastures. 37. And the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Yahweh. 38. He had forsaken his covenant as the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the obsessor and because of his fierce anger.
So, who is he angry with? Is he angry with the fear? Who is he angry with, according to? And so whenever you see him angry with, although you might be looking at the word called here there, and you see that blue word called prophet. But what word is supposed to go there according to scripture when he's angry? What word is supposed to go there, Elder, according to Jeremiah 25, 34 through 38? What word should be there?
Looking at the shepherds.
That's what's supposed to go there. When it's anything negative, you're supposed to put the word shepherd, bishop, pastor, internet, and place. Because if you are here and you go wrong, he's going to deliver you up right away. You know. So now, so that's the word that goes there. Now, let's get a precept on that, Elder, and see can we precept that and find out when he's angry exactly what words go there when you precept your Bible in Ezekiel 34 and pick up verse 1. Let's read a little bit until we get a big benefit of what word is supposed to go there whenever you see something negative in the Bible about the leadership and you see the word fear on it, you're supposed to automatically put in the word shepherd, pastor, or bishop, or pope. You got all four of them words to put there, the Pope. Let's get a precept on it by looking at the 34th chapter, verse number 1 through 12, and look at WCC just saying. It is so quiet on the network, and you know why it's so quiet here? because we eat. We eat real good. They said they eat real good. It is real quiet. You hear a pin drop. It's quiet. They said they eat real good. Yeah, well, no. Sooner or later, everybody going to eat. That's why you got to eat the right stuff for nourishment. So now here we go in the 34th chapter, Elder. Let's see if we get a big metaphor of what we just said with the precept. Just read until we got enough to understand it. When anything negative, this word goes there. Come on. 34:1, let's read a bit, Elder. Come on.
Ezekiel 34, reading in verse 1. And the word of Yahweh came unto 2. Son of man, prophesies against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesies and say unto them, thus says the Yahweh unto the shepherds, woe be unto the shepherds of Israel who do not feed themselves. Should be not the shepherds feed the flocks? 3. Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. 4. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought against that which had been driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. 5. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. 6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. 7. Wherefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Yahweh. 8. As I live, saith the Yahweh, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. 9. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Yahweh. 10. Thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will put my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. 11. Thus saith the Yahweh, behold, even I will both scatter, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my shepherds and will deliver them out of all places where they have not been scattered in the cloudy and dark day.
Good. Now you just gave them a big dose of education there, Elder. So what word do you use when Yahweh is displeased? What word do you use at the precept? When you get ready to read that word, seer, and you see something negative come behind it, what word are you supposed to put there according to the precept? What word?
Shepherd.
Shepherd. Bishop. Pope. Pastor. You got all the words to put there. So that is good there. You got all them words to put there, you know, case in point right there. Now, all right now, mother. So now we clear exactly how you pose it. See, this is how you edify those that want to be edified. Now, mother, we go on to Jeremiah. So we clear how to use things now. If it's negative, we know what to put in there. So we have to write all four of them words down. We have to make a side note like Mother Z just made. Shepherd, Bishop, Pope, and a bishop, a pope, a pastor, and shepherd. Them the four words you use if anything negative about the leadership, you put them words in there. So there you go right there. So you already got it down? Nope, now that's good. Now remember, Elder Red, that if overseer speaks, I'm going to kill you. Did we read that in Deuteronomy 18, verse 20? You know, maybe the national knowledge might have a short attention span. Let's read that verse again in 18, verse 20, to make sure we said that. And mother, tell me Jeremiah 28, 1 through 4, waiting on me. Let's read that verse again and see what he said again. Elder, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, one more time.
Okay. Book of Deuteronomy, looking at chapter 18 and reading verse number 20. That says, but the shepherd, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other Yahwehs, even that shepherd shall die.
Excellent, Elder. Excellent. That's excellent right there. Now read me Deuteronomy 8, Elder. Read me Deuteronomy 8, verse 4. Deuteronomy 8, verse 4. That was excellent. Now I don't got happy again. It don't take much to get the overseer happy. I just got happy behind with the Elder. Just dropped down before this national audience, over 900,000 plus. He just delivered the knockout blow. Now, letting you know, if something negative, I got four words to use instead of a fear. And he can pick shepherd. Excellent. That's the number one. Read me Deuteronomy 8, verse 4, what it say?
Deuteronomy 8, verse 4 says, thy raiment wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years.
Uh-huh. Verse 3 now.
Verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that a man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Yahweh doeth man live.
So that's how man live. So whatever Yahweh say, that's the end of it. He get the first word and the last word. That's the end of it. Now what did he say, mother, in Jeremiah 28, 1 through 4? Now remember that. Man live by everything he say, and once he says, that's the end of it. Ain't no but nothing. That's the end of it. Let's see what he said in Jeremiah 28, 1 through 4, mother. What did he say?
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verses 1 through 4, verse 1. And it comes to pass the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Haman, the son of Hazar, the seer, which was of Gideon, speak unto me in the house of Yahweh, temple of Yahweh, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus thinketh the Yahweh of hosts, the Yahweh of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Verse 3, within two full years, will I bring again unto this place all the vessels of the Yahweh temple that never the Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon took away from this place and carried them to Babylon.
Now, you want to take that, Mother? Okay, go ahead, read four.
And I will bring again to this place your name, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captains of Judah that went into Babylon, says the Yahweh, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon.
Okay. Now, Elder, Mother going to take a shot at this, and I want to know, do you agree with Mother get ready to say after she says, or what power would you bring in? Now, what happened? Now, what we just got through reading? Now, what have we just got through reading in 28:1-4? Exactly what have we just got through reading, Mother? And the Elder going to be listening real carefully. And I'm going to ask the Elder a question. Do you agree with whatever Mother get ready to say? So what happened? What's going on in 28:1-4?
What book?
What book? Jeremiah.
We got to make sure we answer the right question.
All right. I give you that. Now, Mother, get ready to break down 28:1-4. Now, Mother, what's going on 28:1-4? Or do you want to pass to the elder? 28:1-4. What's going on in these verses? Remember, what all we just got to read, it ties into everything we just got to read, what Elder read over there in 18, verse 20, and what the Elder read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 4 and 3. All of it ties in together. So all of it ties in together. What Mother get ready to talk about in 28:1-4. What's going on, Mother?
Oh, well, I think I better pass it on because I'm quite understanding.
Yeah. All right. So what's going on in 28 chapter 1, 2, 3, 4? What is going on here in 28:1-4?
Well, I think the best thing to do is for us to take the pen and write down the corrective statements of 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we will listen to the teaching and take notes. I got my pen in hand.
Okay. Okay, let's take a look at Jeremiah 28:1-4. Now, what we just got through reading, that man live by every word that the Almighty says. Now, this overseer just said in 28 chapters that he going to have the children of Judah return back in a matter of a couple of years. He said that he have broke the yoke off of Nebuchadnezzar's head, so he'll get the people all excited about returning back from the captivity, the ones in captivity. He got the people all worked up, like the pastors do you on Sunday, to get you all worked up, get your high spirit, and get to beating them drums, get everything, get you really happy. So he's got the people of the descendants of the captivity. He said in 2 years, Yahweh told him that everybody going to return back to their homeland in 2 years. That's what he said. So now the people don't got happy. You know, like the preachers today, they might say some things that make you real happy. You get real happy behind the music and everything else. But now let's precept that and see. Because Hananiah said that otherwise what the Almighty say, the timeline the Almighty gave, Elder. Let's give the timeline that this Almighty gave. And 29th chapter, let's look at verse 1 and 10. Let's find out what timeline that the Almighty gave. And Hananiah, the overseer, said, the pastor said, the shepherd said, within a couple of years, this thing is over. Everybody in captivity, I'm going to bust them up, and everybody come back home. So all people got happy because they're going to see their loved ones in a couple more years. But we're going to see what Yahweh says in the 29th chapter, verse 1 and 10. Let's listen to this real carefully. Jeremiah 29, 1 and 10.
In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 1 and verse number 10, one says, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the seer, sent from Jerusalem to the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nergal-Sarnez had carried away captive. Had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 10 says, for thus says Yahweh, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good toward you and causing you to return to this place.
So how many years that was told to Jeremiah that the children of Judah are going to be in captivity, according to verse 10? How many years did Yahweh tell Jeremiah they're going to be there?
I'm reading 70 years. I'm reading 70 years. 70.
Okay. And man live by every word of who?
Every word of Yahweh.
Oh, so man live by every word of Yahweh. So Jeremiah the seer was told that they would be in captivity for how many years?
70.
Now, let's come back and read 28 again. Elder, 1 through 4. And I think you'd be ready to, you know, make a statement. Now let's read, with that information right there, let's read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 4 again.
Deuteronomy 28, verses 1
Jeremiah 28, 1 through 3, 4. Now, I believe once you read it now by understanding, listen carefully. In the 29th chapter, verse 1, word came to Jeremiah. Yahweh said, children of Judah will be in captivity for 70 years. Now, we read the 28th chapter, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I believe everybody is ready to make a statement after this. Come on.
Verse number 1. It came to pass in the same year, in the beginning, in the reign of Zechariah, the king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Zerah, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Yahweh, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, 2. Thus speaketh the Yahweh of hosts, the Yahweh of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. 3. Within 2 full years, I will bring against into this place all the vessels of the Yahweh's house that Nergal-Sarnez, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. 4. And I will bring place Jeconiah, the son of Jeconiakim, the king of Judah, with the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saying, to Yahweh, I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon.
Now, Moses, now, now do you want to make a statement for what? Now you want to make a statement now? How many years did Yahweh say that the children of Judah are going to be in the captivity? According to 29 verse 10.
70 years.
Okay, now, how many years did the shepherd, pastor, the bishop say the children of Israel, children of Judah are going to be in the captivity? And then what he going to do? What he say he was going to do? According to 28:1-4. Now, remember, he had the great big southern kingdom temple. And it's just like the days, past of the day, to get you worked up real good for you to put some extra money in the box, the plate. They can work you up real good with the drums and everything. Get you real excited on a new project. So now, all the children of Judah's family, they knew or someone was taken to captivity, and he got at the great big temple on the Sabbath day and stood before the big congregation of the children of Israel and told them, within 2 years, all your loved ones will be coming back home to you. So you know how, what kind of cry and a joyful noise they made after they heard that. Now, y'all understand, according to 28:1-4, what's going on? So what's going on? Now, y'all take it from there. Who will take a shot at that from that point?
Okay. Well, in the verse 3, he said, within 2 full years, will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Yahweh's temple that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. So I don't know, because within, when we read Jeremiah 29:10, it says, for thus said the Yahweh, that after 70 years, be a constant at Babylon, I will visit you and profane my good word to you, toward you, and causing you to return to this place. So, but here he says, he's talking about the people. But to me, here he said within 2 full years, he's talking about the vessel, the thing that he took from the temple. So,
all right, Elder, what you got? Okay, Elder, what you got at him? Hey, Elder. Mr. T of Israel, what you get out of it? What you get out of it? Do you agree with what Mother said, or you want to take it another way? Hey, Elder? The WCC says, see, if we know where you're going with this, we're going to stop this right now. We're going to mute the Elder off the broadcast. He is through talking for tonight.
Yeah.
Well, we can't ask the Elder anything now. The WCC mute on the Elder. So the Elder's off the broadcast for the night there.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we're going to do, we're going to see can we bring the young lion in. Because see, Yahweh, he knows the fox tail been lit and the curtain air went up. So what we're going to do, we're going to, that's why we tell those on the network, those that understand, especially the anointing of the six camps, always be ready. Because you never know when you're called on to step to the plate And when you step to the plate, you can't be fumbling around. You got to deliver. So now, what we're saying here, mother, in the 29th chapter, verse 1 and 10, it was said that Yahweh spoke to Jeremiah and told Jeremiah that they're going to be there for 70 years. And we read in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, man live by everything Yahweh said. Mm-hmm. Now the pastor going to get up into the temple and says, no, we're going to do this in 2 years. So this pastor, this shepherd, unlied because man live by every word that Yahweh said. He said, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years, then that's the end of it. This pastor jumped up and said, no, in 2 years, I'm going to bring everybody back home. So, you know, everybody, when they person, put all the money they can in the pot behind that. You know, they said this must be the man of the Most High. Because we thought they're going to be here for 6 years. We'd never see him again. But he got up in front of everybody and said, no, you're going to be there for 2 years. And you coming back home. So you can imagine whatever they had in their purse, they wouldn't put it right into the chest. See that? Because they knew it was going to be 70 years. So whatever Yahweh say, mother eat, that's the end of it. If Yahweh says 70 years, that's the end of it. If Yahweh tell you keep it Sabbath day, that's the end of it. If Yahweh tell you where friends, that's the end of it. If Yahweh said keep the feast day, that's the end of it. Man, if Yahweh tell you keep the Sabbath day and you keep the Sunday, you wrong. So now we're getting a case in point right now where this man jumped up and said, this pastor said, no, in 2 years, y'all, your loved ones coming back home. This man just lied to the congregation. And we read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, if you lie to the congregation, you're not speaking my words, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. Now the young lion going to pick that up after we bring him on the network by saying, young lion, travel, y'all got to do it. Y'all why I beat that thing right.
I want to ask you this word vessel is talking about people.
Yeah, the vessels, the vessel is talking about all those things, but he was talking about two things. They not only took the people to captivity, they took away all the gold, your silver, and everything else. So he was talking about two things what's going to happen. He said your loved ones going to return and the vessels going to return too. So this man really was filling them up real good. This pastor, this pope had them on 100. You know, they had them on a scale of 100. He said not only was your loved ones going to be coming back in 2 years, all everything that was taken away by Nebuchadnezzar also going to return. So now you know at the end there, everybody's going to give him all the money. They can take a stick at behind that. They can say, this is the wonderful works of the mighty one that told us that even our gold going to come back to us. Not only our gold going to come back to us, our loved ones coming back too. So you know he got plenty of pets on the back behind that. They'll pat him on his back. He had to do like that big dignitary over there in Russia do, take his shirt off. But there's nice clean slap on the back. But now we could examine that mother. You remember what Mother Z said? She said, I bleed a seal according to Acts 15:15 as is written. If Yahweh said you're going to be in captivity 70 years, that's the end of it. We read in 46:9-10, he called the end from the beginning. So if you can't believe this word, what you supposed to believe?
Mm-hmm.
This man got them all worked up. And let's see what happens, mother. We're going to sit back and let the young lion get in here and see what happened. Now, they all got worked up. Now, let's see what happened when he said all that good stuff. Come on back, Brother Micaiah, in the 28th chapter, 1 down to verse 4. Then we'll skip down to 12 through 17. Listen good, mother. Listen good to the conversation. Now, we already know we live by every word that Yahweh says. Listen at this pastor, this shepherd, this poke, tell the people on the Sabbath day exactly what the Almighty told him. Jeremiah 28, 1, 2, 3, 4, young lion Micaiah, bring it.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verse 1, 2, 3, and verse number 4. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verse 1, read. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Yadaju, in the fourth year, and in the fifth, Hananiah, the son of Azor, the seer, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the temple of Yahweh, in the presence of the priests, and all and of all the people, saying, verse 2, thus speaking to Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon, verse 3. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of Yahweh's temple that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. Verse 4. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Yadadu, all the captives of Yadadu that went into Babylon, said to Yahweh, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon.
Wait a minute. Yeah, well, I know you read it wrong, but wait a minute. So now this shepherd saying, I'm going to take care of all the business that will happen to the children of Judah within 2 years. This shepherd, this pope, he even said, thus says Yahweh told him that. Busy. But what did Yahweh say in 29, verse 1 and 10 there, young lad? Jeremiah 29, 1 and 10. What did Yahweh say? 29, verse 1 and 10.
Chapter 29, verse 1 and verse 10. Verse 1 reads, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the seer sent from Yahdah Judah unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captive, to the priests, and to the shepherds, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Yahdah Judah to Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 10. For thus said the Yahweh, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and proclaim my good word towards you, in causing you to return to this place.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many years did the seer of saying children of Israel going to be in the captivity by the mouth of Yahweh?
70 years.
How many years did the pastor say in 28 before that Yahweh told him that they're going to be in Babylon and they're going to be coming back home, according to 28, 1, 2, 3, 4?
2 years.
So now who right?
Jeremiah is here. Yahweh said it's going to be.
You see that? That's why you got to know who stands before you, because this man brought Yahweh's name in place and saying, no, this in 2 years, everything is coming back to you. Your loved ones and your siblings go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay. So now, when anything negative, that man is said that speaking out of his head, he cannot be a seer. He has to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. He got to be a deacon. He got to be a pope. Or he got to be a bishop. Right?
Hallelujah.
Right, because Yahweh said one thing, he don't say something totally different, didn't he?
Hallelujah.
Now, let's see. Now we read in Deuteronomy. Let's come back to the 18th chapter, young lion. And we're going to look at verse number 20 to the bottom of 18th chapter. Let's see what the penalty of this, and let's see who words going to say. Hey, mother, have me the 11th chapter. Have me the 11th chapter and verse 23 of the book of Numbers, waiting on me. Have it. Start getting it right now at 11:23. Have that waiting on me. Come on there, young lion.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, picking up at verse 20, down to verse number 22.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20 reads,
what?
But the shepherd, which shall presume to speak a word in my name.
Presumptuously.
Oh, presumptuously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, presumptuously to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak,
uh-huh.
or that shall speak in the name of false Yahweh.
Yes.
Even that shepherd shall die.
Yeah, well, what am I doing?
He shall die.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 21. And if you say in your mind, how shall we know the word which the Yahweh has not spoken?
Uh-huh.
Verse 22. If when a shepherd speaketh in the name of Yahweh, if the same follow not,
if it follow not,
nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Yahweh has not spoken,
mm-hmm.
but the shepherd has spoken it presumptuously.
Yes.
You shall not be afraid of
that. Means you will give them no never mind. If they just jumping around, sweating, telling you things, you ain't read no Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible got is as a cushion to you now. You don't call out one verse, and now you'll put the Bible up on your box top, sitting on it, because you know you're going to read no book. He said, you don't pay that man no never mind. He ain't read no Bible. Don't let him jump around sweating and telling you things that you can't read nowhere. Go ahead.
Verse 22.
Okay. So then you know, don't be afraid of them. Otherwise, you supposed to do them like you do your seer today. Pay them no never mind. And that's what you do. So we found out, according to the heavenly tablets of the first five books, if a man that's anointed stand before you and tell you a lie, and you know you can't read it, because you lie if you can't read it, you lie automatically, because you ain't read nothing with a precept. So automatically lying. He's speaking out his own mind. Anybody that before you, go have a verse on the table, then comment behind the verse. If they don't do it that way, they lying to you off the top because they breaking the rules and regulations. You both put a verse on the table, then talk about it. Now, this man says, this pastor says, that in 2 years, all this good stuff is going to happen for the children of Judah. But Yahweh says, if you lie on me, I'm going to kill you, right? Is that what he said? Now, come on, mother. Bring that verse out, mother.
Okay, Numbers chapter 11, verse 23. Numbers chapter 11, verse 23.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And the Yahweh said unto Moses, if the Yahweh's hand wax short, thus shall see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not.
Yeah, mother? So how many years did Yahweh say the children of Israel going to be in captivity, mother?
He said, what was that?
How many years did Yahweh say to Jeremiah that the children of Judah are going to be in the captivity? How many years?
After 70 years.
Oh, okay. So how many years did Yahweh say Judah gonna be in captivity, mother?
70 years.
How many years did the pastor and the Pope say the children of Israel are gonna be in captivity in the 28th chapter?
Okay. 28th chapter said within 2 full years.
Oh, okay. So which one is right, mother?
Yahweh is right.
So Yahweh ain't going to be in 70 years, but the pastor said, no, it's going to happen in 2 years. So this pastor is doing what, mother? We've been reading all night long. He's lying. He's lying, and Yahuwah said, I'm going to kill him. Is that what Yahuwah said in Deuteronomy 28? If you got a lying overseer, if you find out he's lying to you, Yahuwah said, I'm going to kill him. Is that what we're reading? Now we're going to get a case in point in 28 chapter, verse 12 down to verse 17. Now listen, mother. Listen good. A young lion going to read it. Jeremiah 28, 12 through 17. Let's see who word came to pass. Was it Devin, a shepherd, word, Yahuwah say, if you is in an anointed position, and if you are a liar, I'm going to kill you. Let's see, 28, 12 through 17 of Jeremiah. Listen good, mother, be all ears now. Watch this. Come on, young lion.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 28. Verse 12 down to verse 17. Verse 12, read. 28, verse 12. And the word of the Yahuwah came unto Jeremiah, the sixth. After that, Hananiah, the shepherd, had broken the yoke from off the neck of the seer, Jeremiah, saying, verse 13. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus said the Yahuwah, you have broken the yoke of wood, but you shall make for them yoke of iron. Verse 14. For thus says the Yahuwah, the Yahuwah of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they should serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Verse 15. Then said Jeremiah unto Hananiah the shepherd, hear now, Hananiah, the Yahuwah has not sent you, but you make it this people to trust in a lie. 16. Therefore thus said the Yahuwah, behold, I will cast you from off the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Yahuwah. Verse 17. So Hananiah, the shepherd, died the same year in the seventh month.
Hey, that shepherd.
You hear what happened here, mother? Hey, mother, did you hear that? So, mother, when you hear these people, pastors, shepherds, lying, Yahuwah is telling us to tell them, you got to stop lying to the people because the man going to kill you. Jeremiah told the people that they're going to be in captivity 7 years. This pastor came and said, no, they're going to be 2 years. Yahuwah tell us to keep the Sabbath day. The Pope of Rome said, no, we're going to keep Sunday. You see that? So you see what he knows? The Yahuwah say his name is the four letters, Y-H-W-H. No, the Pope of Rome say, of the Vatican City say his name is Lord Jesus, our Lord. See? You, listen, that is a suicide that you're doing by calling Yahuwah a liar. Hananiah is an example of a lying overseer. Yahuwah said, 70 years, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to let you come back home. Hananiah said, no, they're coming back home in 2 years. So he lied. Then Jeremiah was sent back to him by Yahuwah and said, Hananiah, the shepherd, you lied to the people. You worked the people all up. You got them excited, happy. You lied to them. Huh? They like to lie to you about Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Sunday. Not wearing fringes. They lying to you. So you see what happened to him? That's an example. Now we go to Jeremiah 29:10 down to verse 20 now. And let's see, do Yahuwah also clean houses if anybody tied to your hip? Let's go to Jeremiah 29, figure of verse 20. Now, listen to y'all. Hey, mother, listen real good when somebody sees some things. Matter of fact,
Matter of fact, read that, mother. Leviticus chapter 5, 1 and 17. Help those kids out, mother. And in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 and 17. Can you help those kids out, mother? What it say in Leviticus 5, 1 and 17?
Okay. Leviticus chapter 5, verses 1 and verse 17. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. And if his soul sinneth and hear the voice of swearing, and he'll say witness, whether he has seen or know of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear your sin. Verse 17. And if his soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandment, the law of the Yahweh, though he wished it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his sin.
So what you saying, mother? He's saying, now listen, if you are aware of a person standing before you and he lying to you and you know he lying to you, and if you don't say nothing or bear witness, you know he's telling you that Sunday is the Lord's day. It is the Lord's day, but not Yahweh's day. You know he lying and you don't say nothing about it. He said, I'm going to get him, but I'm going to get you for being in that number. So if they stand before you and you know they lying, and you just say, well, I ain't going to say nothing about it. I'm letting them keep the peace. He said, I'm going to get them, but I'm going to get you for being in that number. So if you know what the man is saying, and you ignore what the man is saying and don't say nothing, you just as guilty as you part of it. And just like they tell you today by hanging around with people on the corner, they are done wrong, but you're going to hang out with them too. And when the man come and grab them, they're going to grab you too because you hanging out with them. That's the same thing going to happen according to this. If you know that preacher lying to you, and you go along with it, when I get that preacher, I'm going to get you too. That's what he's saying. Is that what he's saying? So now we're going to go. So he got the pastor that down the line saying, in 2 years, let's see what else did he do in the 29th chapter, young lion. Let's see what else did Yahweh do by the mouth of Jeremiah. And 29 verse 10, verse 20 down to verse 32. Listen good there, Mother E and Mother Z. Listen good to this. What it say?
The book of Jeremiah, here, chapter 29, verse 20 down to verse 32. Verse 20 reads, hear ye therefore the word of the Yahweh, all ye of the captives, whom I have sent from Yahdash Judah to Babylon. 21. Thus says the Yahweh book, the Yahweh of Israel, of Ahaz, the son of Coliah, and of Zedekiah, the son of Messiah, to prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall lay them before your eyes. 22. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captives of Yahdash Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Yahweh make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahaz, whom the king of Babylon posted in the fire. Verse 23. Because they have committed vanity in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and has spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know and am a witness, says the Yahweh. verse 24. Thus shall you also speak to Shemaiah, the Nethamite, saying, 25. Thus speaketh Yahweh of the Yahweh of Israel, saying, because you have sent letters in my name unto the people that are Yadadu, and to Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, and to all the priests, saying, 26. The Yahweh has made you priests in the stead of Jehoiada, the priest, that you should be officers in the temple of Yahweh forever, for every man that is mad and maketh himself a shepherd, that you should put him in prison in the stock. Verse 27. Now, therefore, why had you not reproved, corrected Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a shepherd to you? Verse 28.
Now, Jeremiah is a seer. He asked the question. He said, so now, Yahweh paid Jeremiah no never mind, and Jeremiah, he's the reprover. So y'all ignore him and say, y'all will make some things over there in Babylon and everywhere else. And Jeremiah is the sitting shepherd. Yeah, I mean, he's the sitting seer. He's the sitting seer. So y'all trying to come up another way, and Jeremiah, and we read already earlier in chapter 15, can we read chapter 15 there? Hey, Mother E, can we read 7:15 of 1 Samuel and see how long that we're supposed to recognize these things? 1 Samuel 7:15 says what, Mother?
Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 15. First Samuel chapter 7, verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life.
So if Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, how long do Jeremiah supposed to judge Judah, Israel, all the day? How long he supposed to judge?
According to Samuel, all the days of his life.
All the days of his life. So Yahweh don't change according to Malachi 3, verse 6. Once a seer in place, all the way he can be removed is through death. Because Yahweh would kill you, and he removed you. But long the man still you hear his voice, that was Yahweh's saying. So y'all gonna start something, Shemaiah and them gonna start something in Babylon, and then they're gonna call back to, they're gonna send letters back to Judah, and they're gonna elect who they wanna put in the table. Wait a minute, ain't Jeremiah still around? You gonna reprove Jeremiah? Jeremiah is the seer until he dies. And Yahweh do the killing. So Shemaiah, let's see what happens to Shemaiah behind that. Was he trying to set up something like they got today called, after 4 years, you elect who you want to be? That don't work like that in Israel. Let's see what he said to Shemaiah now. Go back to Shemaiah again, young lion. Let's see what he's saying. Because they're saying Jeremiah. Otherwise, what they're saying, Jeremiah is the sitting seer. He the one got the first and the last word. Not you, Shemaiah. Let's read a little bit more about Shemaiah. Come on.
All right. We're going back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. We're picking up at verse 28. Verse 28 reads, for therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is lost. Building ye houses and dwell of them.
That's what Yahweh say. This captivity is going to be 70 years, going to be long. So you build houses there, get along with the people, get your boys down low, get along, and go get through them 70 years. Go ahead, read.
And plant gardens.
Yeah.
And eat the fruit of them.
Go ahead.
Verse 29. And Zephaniah, the priest, read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the seer.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 30. Then came the word of Yahweh to Jeremiah the seer, saying,
right.
31. Then to all them of the captain, saying, thus said to Yahweh concerning Shemaiah, the Nehemiah, because that Shemaiah has prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie.
Mm.
32. Therefore, thus says the Yahweh, behold, I will punish Shemaiah, the Nehemiah, in his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among his seed. Neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, said the Yahweh, because he has taught rebellion against Yahweh.
Ain't that something? So now, by this leadership is lying to the people, Yahweh said, I'm not going to only punish him. I'm going to cut off his bloodline. See, that's what he told you earlier about when you take a man out the way, you're taking a man's bloodline past your death today. Yahweh said, I'm going to cut off his whole bloodline by killing him. So he not going to have no more seed nowhere. Anything that came out of his loins, they're going to die because of his position and leadership. And he told a lie. So that means he's going to die. And that means nothing will come out of his loins unless they already there. And I'm going to kill him. That's the end of his bloodline. That's how this man operates. So when you in leadership, the last thing you do is let somebody get in their feelings and you agree with their feelings, stick with the word of Yahweh. Because if you make a decision because somebody is crying to you or boo-hooing and the Bible don't support it, and you make a decision according to the flesh, the man going to kill you and everything in your loins, and we just got through reading. Read it again in verse 32. Listen good.
From Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 32, read. Therefore, thus says the Yahweh, behold, I will punish Shemaiah, the Nehemiah, in his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among his seed.
Wow.
Neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, says the Yahweh, because he has taught rebellion against Yahweh.
You see that? He said, I'm going to get him and his bloodline. That's how dangerous our mighty one is. So don't get in the ministry knowing you're going to make a decision according to hurting somebody's feelings and the book don't support it. Hurt their feelings and keep well with Yahweh, because you don't want Yahweh to deliver you up. By this man going with the emotions of the people, he said, and otherwise, go and kill him too. See? You cannot get in the position of being the popular overseer. Only if the Bible supports it. If the Bible says this is the way, then that's the end of it. Matter of fact, let's read that. Let's read that, young lion. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's start with this man saying, and mother have me Joel waiting on me. Joel chapter 2. But I'm going to Isaiah and let this man tell you something. In the 49th chapter, that young lion, the Almighty said something that we need to read. See, remember, we do everything spirit-led. He'll tell you what he wants you to say. But when you make a decision because somebody crying to you and the Bible says one thing, but you go at it according to the feelings of the people. I remember a brother in class said the same thing. Well, I ain't ready to be no teacher. Afterwards, so that means you want to continue with the people and he want to speak around the women. Make sure he stay on the women's side. And see? And from that point to this point, we need help. More ways than one. Because he made a decision to not to do Yahweh's business. He won't do his own business. See, you can't make a decision based upon somebody crying or they feelers. If the Bible tell you, well, I'm looking for, this is the way. What verse I want to tell y'all, huh? He tell you, this is the way. Walk that in it. Now, where I'm at, well, I'm settling that young line. I need to hear that verse. Unless mother's going to help me out. She needs to hear the verse by tell you what the Almighty said. This is the way. Walk there in it. And don't turn such and such a way. Can anybody help those see out on that verse? That's what I need right now out of the book of Isaiah. Yeah. What do I need there, young man? Yeah, 20, yeah, that sounds good. That's what I need. This is what I need. That's what I need right here. Listen to what he's saying. Go ahead.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, picking up at verse 20.
Listen.
Verse 20 reads.
What?
And so the Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction.
Yes.
Yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore.
Right.
But your eyes shall see your teacher.
Yes.
21. In your ears she hear a word behind thee saying,
what?
This is the way.
This is the way.
Walk you in it.
Walk you in it.
When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
So your teachers, your anointed one is telling you, you got to walk the straight path. This is the way. You got to keep this Sabbath day. If you're in a ministry where the man is not teaching you nothing, he's still telling you to pay tithes on Sunday and keeping Sunday. The man is lying to you. He's doing Christianity. That's not the Bible. You got to make a difference for yourself and your loved ones. They're lying to you. He heading to the bottom of the lake of fire, but guess what? According to Leviticus chapter 5, 1 and 17, you going too. Because you know he lying. But since your family member is at the same place, you just going to continue doing it, although you have done 30, 40, 50, 60 years, but you've been lied to for 30, 40, 50 years. What you holding, mother? What was you holding, mother? When you holding something from me?
Okay. I think you only just give me the chapter. Joel chapter 2, you didn't tell me what verse.
Oh, okay. All right. Chapter 2. Okay. Okay, in chapter 2, mother. Now, in Joel chapter 2 now. Okay. All right. Thank you, mother. That's all right. Now, we're going to Joel chapter 2, and let me find Joel chapter 2 because they don't got away from me now. Let's see what we want in Joel chapter 2. We're going to Joel chapter 2. Let me find me some Joel. What do we want out of the book of Joel? Joel chapter 2, mother, let's pick it up at our verse number, Joel 2, pick it up verse 15 and 16. Joel, let me see now. His old eyes is, let me look real good, mother. Let me see what I want. I want Joel chapter, maybe chapter 1. You make it 1, mother, 15 and 16.
Joel chapter 1, 15 and 16.
And 17, yep. Yeah, 15 out of verse 17. Then we're going to bring mother in behind that. Joel chapter 2, 15 out of verse 17. What do you say?
Okay, Joel chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Joel chapter 1, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, Elias, for the day And
no, no, you're right. Good. You're right, Mo. Hey, hold on, Mo. You're right. You're right, chapter 2. Make that 2. You're right, 2:15-17. Yeah, I
don't know.
Yeah, make it Joel 2:15-17.
Joel chapter 2, verse 15-17. Verse 15. Mm-hmm. Blow the trumpet in Yahda Judah. Sanctify
yeah.
peace. Call the solemn assembly.
Yeah.
16. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children.
Elders.
And those that suck the breast. Let
yeah.
the bridegroom go forth for his
yeah.
chamber and the bride out of her closet. Verse 17.
Okay.
Let the priest, the minister of the Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Yahweh?
Okay, Mother, according to verse 17, what is that first line of saying, Mother? Can you help those people to bring Mother Z in? What is it saying in verse 17?
Oh.
Let's read of that line, that first line in 17.
He said, let the priest, the minister of Yahweh.
Stop it there. Let me hold on, Mother. So who is the minister of Yahweh?
The elders. I mean,
no,
the
who is the minister? No, who is the minister according to Yahweh? We're looking at verse 17. Who is the minister of Yahweh according to verse 17? Come on, young man. Exactly right. So the priest is the ministers of Yahweh. We know it's an order of coming back up in front of that. But the priests, they are the ministers of Yahweh. Is that what we're reading, Mother?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're reading?
Right.
Now we're gonna preach up there and bring Mother in. We're going to Ezekiel. Young Lion gonna read it. We're gonna bring Mother in. We're gonna preach up that, Young Lion. 34, verse 30 and 31. Now remember what he said. The priest is the ministers of Yahweh. Is that what we just got to read?
Yeah, well.
So now we're gonna precept that to Ezekiel 34, verse 30 and 31. Let's see what he says.
Going over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 30 and verse 31.
Listen, God.
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 30 reads. Thus says, verse 30 reads, thus shall they know that I, the Yahweh, their Yahweh, am with them, and that they, even the family of Israel, are my people.
Yes.
Says the Yahweh. Verse 31, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your Yahweh, says the Yahweh.
What that mean? What is he saying? So what is he saying when you preach up your Bible?
Preaching man.
So he says his priest, all the overseers of Yahweh is who?
Men.
You must understand, when it comes down to ministering the word, man must stand before you to minister the word. Man. In a congregation, the priest of Yahweh is men. The men must be in that position, not one man. So when you see a woman leading the flock, overseeing the class, it is total role according to the Bible. And you've seen how he said, I'm going to get them ones that's lying. And the same thing he's saying now in the Leviticus 5, 1 and 17. If you know something is not right and you go along with it, I'm going to get them, but I'm going to get you for being in that number. Women do not stand at the head of a congregation, not of Israel. You might be standing ahead of a congregation of the other nation because he never get in no rules and regulations. But he says, this priest, this minister are men. So that's the one supposed to minister the word out. This is, ain't the world where you can be the best you can be. You be anything you want, but not according to the Bible. You be according to everything in the world and be a president or high ruler in the world. That's the world. But not when it comes down to the Bible. Yahweh is the president. Men must lead the congregation only, not one man. Woman is a help to that man. That's the highest you can get of being a help meet to that man, not over a congregation. You got it? Good. We're going to bring Moses in, and that's the precept on the way of getting something. So remember, you see when the pastor started lying and overlooking things, he said, fear, go tell them I got you. Not only going to get you, I'm going to get everything coming out your lawn because you are lying to the people. You got pastors today thinking a woman's supposed to be over the man. You're lying to the people. If you men's going along with that, you're lying to yourself, and when you get her, he's going to get you. You just got to read. Mother E, Mother Z, tribe of Yahweh Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp Warren. You on the clock and Yahweh be with your FC Roy. Come on. The world listens to Mother Z. Over 900,000 strong want to hear your commentary on the top part of the seventh. Now, what you want to tell this national audience, Mother? Come on.
Hallelujah, Seal, Israel, Leroy, the Seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Yahweh?
I'm just going to read it. No, I had it, but I lost it. And so I'm just going to read. I'm going to read in Jeremiah 30, starting at verse 1. See, the words that came to Jeremiah from the Yahweh said, thus speak the Yahweh of Israel, said, write this with saying with you all the words that I have spoken unto you, right? Okay, I have to read two over again. Then spoke the Yahweh of Israel, saying, write three. This are the words that I have spoken unto you in a book. For lo, the day cometh, said the Yahweh, that I will bring again the captive of my people, Israel, and Yahweh Judah, said the Yahweh, and I will cause them to return to their land, the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it, verse 4. And these are the words that the Yahweh spoke concerning Israel and concerning Yahweh Judah, verse 5. For thus said the Yahweh, we have heard For thus said the Yahuwah, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. I'm going to stop at verse 6. Ask ye now and see whether a man do prevail with children. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in prevail, and all faces and all faces are trembling, turned unto paleness. And I say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Mother, that's excellent. We know exactly what you got to bring to the table. And no question about it, it came through loud and plain. Now, Mother Eve, we're going to close out with Malachi 3:8, down to verse 13, the closing statement there, Mother Eve. Let's look at Malachi 3, verse 8. We'll take it out to verse 13. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 13, Mother.
Malachi
we'll
chapter
3,
verse 8 to 13.
Yeah, and young lion had me 1 Corinthians 3 waiting on me. Come on, Mother.
Okay. Well, I keep turning away from
Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 down to verse 13, the closing statement.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob Yahuwah? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed thee, and tithe and offering? Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10. Bring you all the tithe into this storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and through me now, wherewith, said the Yahuwah of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and for you are a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time and the seal, said the Yahuwah of hosts. Verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Yahuwah of hosts. Verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, said the Yahuwah. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee?
Mm-hmm. You say your words are stout. Well, anytime you ignore what the man's saying, your words are very stout. You try to get around with what the man got written and come up another way, your words is stout. And that's what made the people happy, but it was a lie. If your words is stout when you don't do what the man just told you to do, according to what you just got to read. Come on, Mother, close the thing and you're on the clock. Come on.
Okay. Thank you and praise Yahuwah for this class, and thank you and praise Yahuwah for this theorem. Thank you and praise Yahuwah for just being in the class. And I'm going to read Psalms 2, and I'm going to read
Okay,
Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the nation rage and the people imagine a vanity thing? Verse 2, the king of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, let us break their band of sudden and cast away their cord from us. And so he that sitteth in the heavens shall lay, the Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his soul, his sweat. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm checking all on the bottom part of the Sabbath. Come on, young man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, 7 through 12, and the closing statement on you there. Dr. Lamar on the airways at 2 p.m. tomorrow.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, 7 down to verse 12. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 reads, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Yahweh himself. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Yahweh the Son is Yahweh the Father. Verse number 7. For a man indeed are not to cover his head. For as much as he is the image and glory of Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
but the woman is the glory of the man.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Verse 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Verse 10. For this cause of the woman to have power on her head because of the angel. Verse number 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman,
right.
neither the woman without the man in the Yahweh. Verse 12. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all say of Yahweh.
That means a man got to have a woman, but you got to be a Yahweh woman obedient to the laws of the Bible to make it work as a couple. Y'all mind closing statement, top part of 7-8. All yours and you on the clock. Come on.